Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. We are about to have a conversation with Dean Baker, of course, is co-founder of the Center for Economic Policy and Research in Washington, D.C., and has joined us numerous times talking about the economy of this nation. He's author of The Conservative Nanny State, How the Wealthy Use the Government to Stay Rich and Get Richer, and most recently, Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. And you can always read his work at Beat the Press, his blog, which you can link to here on the SteinerShow.org website. And Dean, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Dean, this latest big news that we've gotten in the last few days is about the S&P, Standard & Poor's downgrade of the American AAA rating, bond rating. Make some sense of that for us and for our listeners, would you?
Well, it's very hard to make sense of it as an economic decision. The immediate event was there was a debt deal and they said it wasn't big enough. Well, if they were concerned about the immediate story, why were they doing it when we're reducing the debt rather than increasing the debt? If you go back to December, of course, we extended President Bush's tax cuts. That was making the debt larger. You think you would have done it then. The other point, which is really just an incredible story, and, you know, no one's denied this from Standard & Poor's, they were off in their calculations by $2 trillion. They said that they want $4 trillion in debt reduction. The deal called for 2.4, 2.5. And then it turns out they had an error in their books of $2 trillion. So they actually had more debt reduction than they were asking for. They didn't realize it because they'd done their numbers wrong. And they still did the downgrade. I mean, to me, this looks just like the situation with Iraq, where President Bush obviously had made the decision to invade Iraq, and he was looking after the fact to come up with the weapons of mass destruction or some other story to justify that decision. Clearly, they'd made a decision for whatever reason to downgrade U.S. government debt, and they were simply looking for some sort of excuse.
And the other part of that story is the S&P's role, as well as other rating agencies' roles, Moody's, in this whole debt crisis to begin with that America is facing, and how the financial meltdown led in part to this debt crisis we're having in America, this deficit crisis, and the role they played in all this.
Well, exactly. And this is, again, one of the reasons I should have said this beforehand. You know, I'd like to think that we had honest debt rating agencies where you could assume that they're just making their best judgment and, you know, they approach it, look at all the evidence and come to a conclusion based on that. We can't believe that. And the reason we can't believe that is precisely because of their track record during the run-up of the housing bubble. So they rated hundreds of billions of dollars of subprime mortgage-backed securities as investment grade. These were at the center of the financial crisis. This is what blew up Lehman, which they also rated AAA, by the way, Bear Stearns, which they also gave a high investment grade rating. And for that matter, this is what AIG insured, which, again, they gave a AAA rating until the day it collapsed. So one could either believe that they just have really bad judgment, which is certainly possible, which, again, doesn't mean that we really want to take their downgrade very seriously. Or alternatively, one believes that, well, they were doing it for the money. They were getting paid tens of millions of dollars for these ratings. Either way, you can't sit back and just look at this rating and treat it as sort of this objective statement about the state of the U.S. Fiscal situation.
And just again, I mean, I think that we hear these terms all the time, rating agencies and these credit rating agencies and what they do, Moody's and S&P and the role they play. But exactly who are they? And what role do they play?
Well, these are private for-profit companies, and people should remember that. They're in business for a profit. They get paid for their ratings. The U.S. government doesn't pay them, but most private issuers of debt, if you're a bank and you have a mortgage-backed security or you're issuing your own debt, you pay Moody's or Standard & Poor's or the third big one, Fitch, to come in, look at your books and give you whatever rating that what's appropriate, whether that's in fact the case or not, is another question. But in any case, they're private companies, and they do this as a for-profit business.
And so when you look at what's going on here and in Europe, I mean, it seems the United States and Europe are tied together in this crisis in terms of going belly up. And that I've been kind of, as I talk to congressmen on the Hill, I would say, are we just Greece but a lot larger in the eyes of banks and in the eyes of these credit rating agencies?
No, it's really important to point out we're absolutely not Greece. And in fact, the markets reacted 180 degrees wrong from what S&P, you know, would have predicted. Because what S&P just said is that, you know, we should view our debt, everyone should view U.S. government debt as being more suspect, more risky. Well, guess what happened? U.S. Treasury bonds soared, interest rates plummeted. So the markets absolutely do not see U.S. debt as being more risky. They're yelling absolutely as loud as they can that they consider U.S. government debt to be the safest asset in the world. They're very worried about the situation in Europe, where it's entirely plausible that you'll see the collapse of the euro. And if that were to happen, you'd probably see the same sort of freeze-up in financial markets as what we saw back in September of 2008 after Lehman collapsed.
So if I could ask you to answer the question you kind of posited on the piece you wrote on Saturday for the Huffington Post, that we can only speculate about the true motive of this downgrade. What do you think is going on?
Well, just to state the obvious, there are provisions of the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill that would directly affect the way S&P, all the financial rating agencies, operate. And they clearly would like these provisions structured in such a way as to benefit them as much as possible. In other words, these are rules. They're left open in the bill, and they're yet to be resolved by regulators, by either this administration or the next administration. And it's certainly a plausible story that they're trying to curry favor with important people, whether it's in the Republican or Democratic Party. I really couldn't say at this point, but, you know, it's certainly possible that there were people who would like to see this sort of downgrade. It's being taken as an embarrassment for President Obama. You know, again, whether it should be or not is another question, but certainly you have many people trying to make that an embarrassment for President Obama. So it could well be that the S&P thinks this is a great way to curry favor with, you know, some important Republicans by doing this downgrade.
And what do you think both the politics and economics are? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
About the push by these agencies, by many in the political world, especially in the conservative political world, to say what we have to do is cut Social Security, cut Medicare. The same thing is going on in Europe in the parallel universe of what they call entitlements. And even the word entitlements I can't stand, because it sounds as if people are asking for things that they are really not entitled to. They're being given something as opposed to being what people can expect, which is medical health care and retirement benefits. But at any rate, why is that being attacked?
Well, these are enormously popular programs. I mean, this is sometimes put as a left-right split. It isn't.
Right.
The Tea Party Republicans hugely support Social Security, hugely support Medicare. In fact, a lot of Tea Party people identify themselves as being associated with the Tea Party or support the Tea Party. They vote for Republicans because they thought Obama was cutting their Medicare. You know, so it's not that they're opposed to those programs, far from it. They're very, very strongly supportive. So the only way you get a situation where it's politically plausible, feasible to cut Social Security and Medicare is if you say, oh, we have no choice. We have this absolute crisis. You know, the bond rating agencies are telling us we have to do it. So the people who want to cut these programs want the bond rating agencies to say, this is a crisis. You have no choice. You know, it doesn't matter whether you like Social Security and Medicare. You have no choice. We've spoken.
And again, I think the American people and many people are kind of confused about who it is that we have spoken. I mean, if in fact the market today responded, as you described earlier, which was in the face of the S&P downgrading, I think that the political dynamics can get very confusing for people, and also the understanding of what is happening economically gets very confusing for people to put their hands around.
Well, I'm sure it is, and, you know, the media helps to cultivate that. So I don't know how many press accounts I've already heard that have talked about the fall in the stock market as being attributable to the S&P downgrade. And you go, sorry, that doesn't make sense. What S&P said, if you take it on face value, is that U.S. government debt is less creditworthy today than it was last week. So if you believe that, that first and foremost should affect what people are willing to pay for U.S. government bonds. It didn't. People are willing to pay more for U.S. government bonds. So you go, well, why'd the stock market fall then? You go, well, if we get a Lehman-type freeze-up of the financial system, that's certainly bad news for, you know, basically corporate America. So it wouldn't be a surprise events in Europe would lead to a plunge in the stock market. I should also point out, I mean, we do have the underlying fact that the U.S. economy is very weak. We got new data on economic growth a week and a half ago, the GDP data for the second quarter, and it was certainly weaker than most economists had expected. So, you know, it's, I think, sinking in on a lot of people that, you know, we're looking at a very weak recovery, which is certainly bad news. I don't think that explains the sort of fall off we're seeing, but I think that is certainly a contributing factor.
So, again, these pieces that we are focused on in the media, instead of being focused maybe on some larger and other questions, I mean, we are focused here on this question of raising the debt ceiling, of cutting the deficit, and what relation that has to the reality of people losing their homes and to people not getting, if 1 out of 6 Americans, not being able to find the kind of full-time work that they need.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, to my mind, it's just really incredible tragic because we do have a disaster now. I mean, we have people running around saying, oh, you know, S&P downgraded us. If we don't do X, Y, and Z in 10 years, then blah, 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 blah. You know, well, very concretely, we've got tens of millions of people who are unemployed, underemployed, because people like Alan Greenspan don't know how to do their job. And that should be topic number 1, 2, 3, and 4. We didn't talk about it at all for the last 4 months because we had this big nonsense fight over the debt ceiling to go, okay, that's over. Now we're going to have a chance to talk about getting people. No, we have to go on. You know, S&P's downgraded our debt, so we have to go talk about that. The agenda's got to be creating jobs. That's the country's real problem right now. But instead, we're talking about everything in the world but creating jobs.
So if we had a handle on the media, or at least we do have a handle on this media that we have, to the people who listen to us in the Baltimore, D.C. area, what should be the discussion we're having, and how do you have the discussion about what we need in face of the push to cut the deficit without kind of thinking about long-term plans to create jobs and to secure Social Security and to make sure that we cut health care costs in America?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, the immediate issue, I think, has to be a short-term one of creating jobs. Longer-term, we do have to fix health care. I mean, again, this is one of these things about the S&P downgrade. They never talked about U.S. health care costs, which you sort of go, what exactly were you looking at? I mean, this really kind of jumps out. Anyone who looks at the books, clearly our big problem is health care costs because that is what drives, you know, most of these projections of long-term budget deficits. They're, you know, exploding health care costs, which then get passed on in the public sector through Medicare and Medicaid. So, you know, we have to fix that over the longer term. They didn't talk about an overvalued dollar, which is, again, you know, front and center in terms of creating jobs. Also, people don't like the budget deficit, should be very upset about the overvalued dollar, because if we have a trade deficit because the dollar's too high, then that pretty much guarantees you're going to have a budget deficit. It's virtually a definition. So they were not focusing on the things that make sense. They clearly wanted to say, downgrade in order, obviously, in order to meet some other goal. It was not reflecting the information that they cited in their analysis.
We've been talking to Dean Baker. He is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington, D.C. His latest book is Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. And you can also and should be reading his blog, Beat the Press, where he looks at media's coverage of the economic issues in our country. And has joined us once again. And Dean, I appreciate you taking your valuable time with our listeners once again.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show, Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break.